From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Deputy Chairperson of the People's Consultative Assembly Sharifuddin Hassan urges the public to obey health protocols. Epidemiologist criticizes the Jakarta administration. Now the news in detail. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR Sharifuddin Hassan urged the Indonesian people to keep obeying the health protocols recommended by the government when carrying out various activities, especially those involving large numbers of people. In a release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Sunday, Sharifuddin expressed the call because the government's recommendation regarding the health protocols was made to minimize and fight the growing development of COVID-19 pandemic. He emphasized that to face a pandemic must start from eliminating the cause, namely the virus itself. When the virus is gone, according to Sharifuddin, all the effects of the pandemic will also gradually disappear. People can return to their normal lives as before COVID-19. Currently, only adhering to health protocols is expected to eliminate the pandemic before vaccines or drugs are discovered. Tri Yunis Miko Wahyono, head of epidemiology of the University of Indonesia, criticized the Jakarta administration for insisting to enforce the transitional large-scale social restriction or PSBB while Jakarta is still being classified as the COVID-19 red zone. The epidemiologist warned the Jakarta administration to seriously implement the restrictions during this ongoing pandemic. Although the city limits the number of people to only 50% of the maximum room capacity, virus transmission still occurs and is even increasing, which is evident from the emergence of office infection clusters. Since the transitional PSBB was enforced on June 5, 2020, social and economic activities were reopened. However, new infection clusters emerged from markets, offices, until houses of worship. Tri Yunis also argued that Jakarta had not been able to enter the transitional period since the curve has not yet flattened and the city is still in the red zone. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency reported an earthquake with 3.5 magnitudes on the Richter scale, jolted Cianjur and Bogor on Sunday, August 9 at 6:52 p.m. local time. The tremor reportedly reached Jakarta and Depok. According to the Quake and Tsunami Mitigation Head, Daryono, its epicenter was at 6.63 degrees south latitude and 107.02 east longitude. The agency previously reported that the quake occurred at 25 kilometers northwest Cianjur Regency and at a depth of 10 kilometers. It was classified as a shallow crustal quake due to the activities of local seismarians. Now we move to international news. The longtime leader of Belarus, President Alexander Lukashenko, appears to declare a landslide victory in an election that saw his toughest opposition challenge in years. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, 37, entered in the place of her jailed husband and went on to lead large opposition rallies. The opposition has said it expected the vote to be rigged. Protesters have already clashed with police. Squares and streets in the capital Minsk were earlier sealed off by police as President Lukashenko vowed that the situation would remain under control. The lead-up to the election saw a crackdown on activists and journalists amid the country's biggest opposition demonstrations in years. New Zealand has gone 100 days without recording a locally transmitted COVID-19 case, a milestone that has both been welcomed and brought warnings against complacency. But officials have warned against complacency, saying a second wave of cases is still possible. Other countries have had early success in suppressing the virus, only to see infections rise again after lifting lockdown restrictions that damage the economy, such as Vietnam and Australia. New Zealand has fared better than other countries, recording 1,219 confirmed cases and 22 deaths since the virus arrived in late February. Praised internationally for its handling of the COVID-19 pandemic, the country's government has lifted almost all of its lockdown restrictions first imposed in March. An early lockdown, tough border restrictions, effective health messaging, and an aggressive test and trace program have all been credited with virtually eliminating the virus in the country. International donors have pledged €250 million in aid for Lebanon 5 days after the explosion which devastated a swath of Beirut. But an online donor summit arranged by France called at the same time for reforms to be made. 15 government leaders at the donor summit, spearheaded by French President Emmanuel Macron, promised major resources. The donors are prepared to help Lebanon's longer-term recovery if the government listens to the changes demanded by the country's citizens. Officials estimate the explosion caused up to $15 billion of damage. The last item, the United Kingdom and four allies have urged Hong Kong's government to allow barred opposition candidates to contest in the delayed parliamentary elections. The appeal on Sunday was made by the foreign ministers of the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. The ministers said they were gravely concerned by the Hong Kong government's unjust disqualification of candidates. They condemn a year-long postponement of September's election as disproportionate. The chief executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, announced the delay at the end of July, blaming a rise in coronavirus infections in the territory. Opposition politicians and activists have accused the government of using the coronavirus pandemic as a pretext to stop people from voting. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling The Awakening of National Technology During the Pandemic. Today, 25 years ago, on August 10, 1995, the Indonesian made N-250 Gatotkaca aircraft successfully aired for the first time. This is a clear proof of the proud achievement of the Indonesian nation in efforts to develop, apply, and master science and technology, especially in the field of aerospace. To commemorate this event, in accordance with the Presidential Decree No. 71 of 1995, August 10, is designated as National Technology Awakening Day. Technology has become an increasingly inseparable part of everyday human life. Technology, especially information and communication technology, is widely used in almost every human activity, especially in the era of the COVID-19 pandemic like today, when almost all activities are carried out with health protocols by reducing face-to-face meetings to avoid transmissions of the COVID-19 virus. It is undeniable that technological developments have changed the way of life, the way of working, and the way of doing human business. Many businesses and jobs are now extinct, but a lot of new businesses and jobs have been created. The economic and social impacts resulting from these technological developments are enormous and will determine the direction of humanity's future. Before the pandemic, people probably didn't think that important meetings could be held remotely. On the one hand, this can save labor and costs. On the other hand, it is detrimental to other industries. The aviation industry, for example, is one of the most affected due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In an online discussion theme, The Journey of the National Aerospace Industry, which was held to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the National Technology Awakening Day on Friday, the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Habibi Center, Ilham Habibi, said that during a pandemic like today, the world's air traffic is down by about 80%. This has resulted in many airlines reducing their flight routes or even not being able to continue their business. However, fewer airlines also means a decrease in the number of competitors in this area and can result in healthy growth. He predicts the possibility of the airline industry to really recover will only in the next 3 years. Meanwhile, Alvin Guntoro, President Director of PT Dirgantara Indonesia, said that his company, which usually produces aircraft for military operation and commercial flights, during the COVID-19 pandemic, made an innovation by producing ventilators or breathing aids. This was done to get around the impact of COVID-19 on the company's business. The COVID-19 pandemic has a major impact on human life, but in the end, it is all up to the humans, whether they can turn these challenges into opportunities. Hopefully, the COVID-19 pandemic will become a momentum for the Indonesian nation to further innovate and create new technology, like 25 years ago, when the Indonesian nation was able to produce its own aircraft for the first time. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. find medical treatment as soon as possible, and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
In our regular segment, Today in History, we start with the event on August 10, 1937, about Japanese and Chinese War. There was a two-year war between Japan and China in fighting for Canton and Shanghai, the two important regions in China on August 10, 1937. Canton is an important and strategic port in southern China. The Chinese people fought hard for defending their territory, but after suffering a lot of casualties, China's troops surrendered and Canton was seized by Japan on April 25, 1937. By the beginning of the Second World War, Japan occupied large areas in China. However, the Chinese people fought hard so that Japan finally withdrew its troops. Next event is that in 1973, Indonesian second president Suharto inaugurated the second restoration of Borobudur Temple. Borobudur Temple is a Buddhist temple located in Magelang, Central Java. The location of the temple is approximately 100 km southwest of Semarang and 40 km northwest of Yogyakarta. It was built by Mahayana Buddhists around 800 AD during the reign of Wangsa Shailendra dynasty. Borobudur Temple has been renovated for several times. Firstly, it was restored in 1907 to 1911 by Van Erp to repair and restore the Arupada parts and main stupas. Then President Suharto inaugurated the second restoration of the Borobudur Temple. The restoration of Borobudur Temple involved more than 600 workers. The largest restoration project was held in the period of 1975 to 1982 at the effort of the Government of the Republic of Indonesia and UNESCO. The last event is that in 1995, Gatot Kaca N250 aircraft was operated. PT Nusantara Aircraft Industry for the first time carried out flight tests. On August 10, 1995, the commemoration of the National Technology Awakening Day began when Indonesia successfully carried out the flight test of the Gatot Kaca N250 aircraft for the first time as a creation of PT Nusantara Aircraft Industry, which is now called PT Dirgantara Indonesia. The success clearly proved by Indonesian people who were proud to achieve, develop, and master technological science, especially in the field of aerospace. And listener, that was Today in History.
I am Valery Kalitnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say Happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefit to the people of the two countries. Cyber harap Indonesia damai sejahtera dan pembangunan sukses. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
berubah. Yang ku butuhkan waktu kita bicara, saling mengingat janji cinta kita. Lelah aku merasa selalu mengalah. Semakin lama kau tak menentu arah. Bantu aku temukan jalan tengahnya. Mau ku memelukmu selamanya. Rumitnya cinta ini, sejak dirimu sibuk dengan yang lain. Ku butuh sedikit waktu luangmu.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Ministry of Industry enhanced the role of nickel smelter. The government encouraged increasing added value of mineral raw materials in Indonesia. The downstream policy is believed to have made a significant contribution to the national economy, including through the achievement of export value. Director General of Resilience Territorial Zone and International Industrial Access of the Ministry of Industry, Dodi Widodo in Jakarta on Friday explained that the government had issued a law on mineral and coal mining, which mandates increasing added value through mineral resources processing. So the exported products have added value that is much higher than the export of raw mineral products. Currently, the nickel smelter industry that produces nickel pig iron NPI, ferronickel, nickel hydrate, and stainless steel has grown rapidly. Dodi said that until now, around 19 smelters have been operating in East Java, Banten, South Sulawesi, Central Sulawesi, Southeast Sulawesi, and North Maluku. In fact, some are already in the process of constructing a nickel smelters that processes low-grade nickel into battery raw materials located in Central Sulawesi, North Maluku, and Banten. Based on statistical data, the export value of nickel-based metal industrial products reached $4.8 billion in 2018 and $7.08 billion in 2019, respectively, an increase of 47.5%. The large contributions of the nickel smelters industry, according to Doty, needs to be encouraged for the development of its downstream products. It is hoped that the nickel smelter will not only export in the form of NPI and raw materials for batteries, but also in the form of downstream products made of stainless steels and electric batteries. He added that seeing the potential of the nickel smelters industry in the country, the Ministry of Industry appreciated the information of the Indonesian Nickel Forum, FINI. It is also hoped that the domestic nickel smelters industry will increasingly play a major role in the development of the base metal industry and downstream nickel products. Chairman of the Indonesian Nickel Forum, Alexander Barus, said that his forum had gathered 23 nickel smelter industries in Indonesia with a total installed capacity of 3.79 million metric tons of NPI per year and 0.8 million metric tons per year, or nearly 90% of the national smelters' capacity. He further stated that the smelters industry has proven its significant contribution to the national economy. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmati. Thank you for listening.
I am Tania Velasquez Lopez, Ambassador of Cuba to Indonesia. On the occasion of its 75th anniversary of the Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia, I would like to express my warm congratulations to the people of this sister nation and ratify the willingness to further expand our bilateral relations. Thank you.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From
Saya mencintai Ainun, tapi Allah yang menciptakan kita semua lebih cinta Ainun. Saya tidak pernah merasakan ditinggalin Ainun, karena beliau selalu berada dalam hati saya.
Senyum, namun tak selepas dulu.
Rari Wasafis, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Listener, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Maria Anai Welangkani Church in North Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia has not only amazing natural tourism objects, but also some religious destinations which are quite popular. One of them is Maria Anai Welangkani Church in North Sumatra Province. The church is located on Jalan Sakura, Tanjung Selamat in Medan. It is quite unique because it looks like a temple in India. At glance, Maria Anai Welangkani Church looks like a temple in India because the founder of the church, Pastor James Bharataputra S.J., was inspired with the temple in India. The church started being built in 2001 and finished in 2005. The name of Anai Welangkani is taken from Indian language. Anai means mother and Welangkani means where the Virgin Mary appeared. The appearance of the Virgin Mary becomes the background why the Catholic Church with Mughal architecture was built. Mughal architecture is the characteristic of temple in India. Previously, Maria Anai Welangkani Church was for Tamil Catholics in Medan, but in the development of the church, all Catholics can come and make pilgrimage without boundary of origin or race. Since the church is actually presented for all Catholics and also a tourism object for tourists, multicultural aspect of the church can be seen through the structure of its building, which has various symbols. Take for the example, the entrance gate is decorated with miniature of traditional houses of Batak Toba and Karo. At the right pole of the gate, there is a carving of an Indian woman who is dancing, and on the left pole, there is a Chinese man who is giving a greeting. Then along the wall of the gate, there is also a statue of Indonesian tribes.
Maria Annai Velankani Church consists of two levels. The ground floor becomes a hall. The first floor is a place of worship with a balcony whose 14 windows tell about the way of cross. On the second floor, there is an Annai Velankani statue with her son, which is directly brought from India. There are also 20 windows which tell events in the life of Jesus, equipped with 7 levels of towers with 3 domes that symbolize heaven. At the left side, there is Annai Velankani Chapel for daily worship, and in front, there is a mini park to commemorate the Pope Johannes Paul II. There is also a park for children and a graha complex to accommodate visitors to stay for free. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Maria Annai Velankani Church in North Sumatra. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Hello, Indonesia. This is Cameron McKay, the Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia. I would like to wish you a happy 75th anniversary of your Independence Day. My team and I are working hard to make the relationship between Canada and Indonesia even stronger for the benefit of all our people. Dirgahayu, Republik Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibakoikum fil manazil.
Zaman gegen corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
I'm doing.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is, apakah kamu suka tariannya? In English, do you like the dance? Listen to this conversation about apakah kamu suka tariannya? In English, do you like the dance? Siti asks Kevin, does he like the dance that they just learned?
Apakah kamu suka tarian tadi?
Iya, aku suka sekali.
Now, I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Apakah kamu suka? Apakah kamu suka? Which means, do you like? Iya, which means, yes, aku suka. Which means, I like. To ask whether someone likes something or not, you can use some expressions or sentences such as apakah kamu suka? Which means, do you like it? Or, anda suka? Bagaimana? Suka tidak? Which means, do you like it? To respond the expressions, you can say, iya, aku suka. In English, yes, I like it. Or, tidak, aku tidak suka. In English, no, I don't like it. For examples, apa kamu suka menari? In English, do you like dancing? Iya, aku suka sekali. In English, yes, I like dancing very much. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Apakah kamu suka tarian tadi?
Iya, aku suka sekali.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
Sama dengan dengan bunga Citra Lestari.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a Kroncong song entitled Segenggam Harapan. The song, which was composed by Budiman BJ, describes a hope to young generation or teenagers. The young generation is likened as morning light that comes after the dark of the night. People rely on various expectations to the youth, such as to create various artworks and preserving cultures of the nation. Listener, let's listen to the Kroncong song Segenggam Harap, sung by Rosniati Syam. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adalah. See you on the next English program.